Our reading this morning comes to us from Brené Brown. To let ourselves be seen, deeply seen, vulnerably seen. To love with our whole hearts, even though there's no guarantee. To practice gratitude and joy in those moments of terror, when we're wondering, can I love this much? Can I believe in this passionately? Can I be this fierce about this? Just to be able to stop and, instead of catastrophizing what might happen, to say, I'm just so grateful, because to feel this vulnerable means I'm alive. And the last, which I think is probably the most important, is to believe that we're enough. Because when we work from a place, I believe, that says, I'm enough, then we stop screaming and start listening. We're kinder and gentler to the people around us, and we're kinder and gentler to ourselves. I'm at a crossroads in my faith right now. I'm not the only one, but I am the only one I can speak for. And I want more. The vision I have for my faith, for all faiths, is of a place where we explore big questions and big feelings. A sanctuary and a healing presence in a world full of pain. A place where we come together with open minds and with open hearts for something bigger than any of us. A place that feeds the soul. When I first started getting involved with Unitarian Universalism, I kind of appreciated the fact that this was a church that wasn't really a church, that we were more interested in justice and matters of the intellect than spirituality. But the deeper I ventured into this faith, the more that began to change. The more I began to crave more from my faith. And it was challenging at first. I remember sitting in the youth and young adult worship at General Assembly and being really uncomfortable, actually, with how spiritual and emotional it was. But ever since that service, I've craved that kind of spiritual and emotional vulnerability. And so with that in mind, here goes. This is really scary. This is actually the first time I've ever preached outside of my home congregation. And I want to thank you so much for welcoming me into your spiritual home. But if I'm being totally honest, I'm really nervous right now. I always get nervous when I get up to preach, but I think this might be the most nervous I've ever been. I want so much to connect with you all and inspire you, and certainly I want to make the best impression possible, you know, in the hopes that maybe you'll invite me back someday. And at the same time, I also want to be as authentically me as I possibly can be. This is actually something I've been working on quite a bit with my therapist recently. I have a lot of baggage around authenticity and vulnerability that I've collected over years and years of negative reinforcement and even some downright abuse. And I've been discussing all this with my therapist and working with her on exactly what it means for me to be authentically me. And here's a little bit of what I've come up with so far. I am emotional. Emotional in so many different ways. Sometimes I'm full of irrepressible joy and light, and sometimes I'm full of darkness and angst. Sometimes the joy or the angst gives birth to some passionate philosophical or even just unabashedly geeky ramblings on any number of topics that are very near and dear to my heart. Politics, theology, Star Wars, the Simpsons, sports, movies, professional wrestling. I have a lot of feelings and emotions and opinions. Sometimes my emotions make me a little obnoxious. Sometimes I'm crude, vulgar, and inappropriate. Sometimes I curse profusely because I don't know how else to express how emotional I am. Sometimes that gets me in some trouble. I'm also a theatrical person, although I don't always necessarily feel comfortable living as deeply into that part of myself, unless I have other people around me who give me the space and the permission to do that. I am exceedingly silly, And I absolutely love to make people laugh. I love it more than I love most things, really. I love it even more than I love cheese. I know, right? One of my favorite things in the entire world is making my beloved laugh until she's out of breath. Because I'm also a romantic. The pursuit of romantic love has consumed so much of my life, and finally, about 2.5 years ago, I got lucky. And as I've been slowly discovering over the last 5, 10, maybe 15 years, I am queer, and I am genderqueer, which to me basically means that I do not follow the rules of gender because I think they're pretty much nonsense and do a lot more harm than good. So I'd like to tell you some of my story now. This story does contain some sporadic mentions of drug use and some childhood verbal abuse. They're very quick mentions. I'm not going to delve into them very much at all. But if there is anything you need to do to take care of yourself, I completely understand. About 7 years ago now, I was in a pretty bad place. I was staying out way too late, hanging out at my best friend's house all night, doing drugs and just generally wasting my life. One night, my best friend and I took some Xanax and some ecstasy and went for a drive. By the time the night was over, I had wrecked my mom's car and my friend's car, and our friendship was over. A few days later, my mom suggested that we go to a service at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Miami, Florida. My grandpa's been a member there since 1948, and they were going to be celebrating his birthday. Also, the theme of the service was poetry, which is another one of my passions. Plus, I hadn't really gotten out of the house since that fateful night, so this seemed as good a way as any to get me out of my funk. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that something really clicked into place for me that day. The service was really beautiful. The speaker ended with a call to the congregation to make poetry part of our daily lives, which was so beautiful and inspiring for me. But even more than that, the people that I talked to after the service were just exactly the kind of people that I wanted and needed in my life at that time. People who shared my values and passions and wanted to make the world a better place. I turned to my mom in the car on the way home and I told her I wanted to start coming every Sunday. Before I knew it, I was joining committees, putting together worship services, and even representing my congregation as a delegate to General Assembly. Eventually, I got to the point where I just couldn't see myself doing anything other than serving this faith that has empowered and inspired me so much. And now, I'm a year away, God willing, from receiving my Master's of Divinity from Star King School for the Ministry. But still, I found myself craving more from my faith. Admittedly, vulnerability has always made me a little uncomfortable. When I was a little kid, I got yelled at a lot. When I say yelled at, I mean like screamed at. My parents have been divorced since I was less than a year old, and every Friday until I started middle school, my dad would pick me up from after school care, and he would spend probably the first 20 or 30 minutes of our time together screaming at me about whatever I had done wrong or not done right that week. Sometimes I can still hear the echoes of his voice roaring at me in the back of my mind. Sometimes I have nightmares about it. I've also gotten made fun of a whole lot throughout my life, including at times by the people that I consider to be my best friends. I've always been a little different, a little intense, a little contrarian, a little sensitive, too sensitive, too effeminate, too earnest, and all too easy to make fun of. Unitarian Universalism gave me a place to be unapologetically me, a place that unconditionally accepted and affirmed me in all my glory. Well, mostly. I've definitely gotten a few weird looks about and confused questions about the nail polish. I've never actually worn the skirt before to preach, so. But not nearly as many as I've gotten about the cross that I wear when I preach. Because while the worst thing you can be in a Unitarian Universalist church is a Republican, and we need to talk about that too, y'all, but another time. But the second worst thing you can be a Christian. There is a strong current in Unitarian Universalism of not only humanism, but actual anti-theism. Overt spirituality, God language, particularly of the Christian variety, religious ritual, and even some expressions of emotionality are often not entirely welcome in our congregations. The roots of this intellectualism and humanism stretch back hundreds of years. Many of our Unitarian forebears had grown skeptical of emotional appeals to religious claims that emerged from many Protestant movements, such as revivalism or Pentecostalism, and even Universalism to some extent. Many of them, such as William Ellery Channing, envisioned a Unitarian Christianity, where one was free to interpret the Bible using one's reason. This continued through the rise of humanism, which also deeply intertwines with the history and the merging of Unitarianism and Universalism, and which aspired toward a far more human-centered vision of religion that shifts its focus from the unknown and the unknowable toward what is understood and understandable. And this vision, I feel, tries to make religion something it isn't. Religion, at its very core, is humankind's great endeavor to explore and wrestle with the unknown and the unknowable. This history manifests itself in contemporary Unitarian Universalism in so many ways. Many of our members are people who have been driven away from the conservative Christianity they were raised in by patriarchy, bigotry, and hate. And the sanctuary we provide for these people is one of the most important and beautiful ministries that Unitarian Universalism provides to the world. The catch is that we remain a very intellectual, academic, and in many ways humanistic faith. Sermons often sound more like political science lectures. Our theologies and our Sunday services are often dry and devoid of heart and soul. Humanism is amazing, don't misunderstand me. And it deeply resonates for so many, both Unitarian Universalists and others. But I feel if we cling to it without acknowledging its flaws and shortcomings, and without balancing it with some theism, spirituality, and emotionality, we are effectively isolating ourselves from some of the most important conversations going on in our world. But more than that, we're missing so many opportunities to reach people who are yearning for our healing message of unconditional love and acceptance and freedom of belief. Particularly, people of color, people from poor and working class neighborhoods, and young people. In 2002, Reverend Rosemary Bray McNatt wrote, quote, "How much do we mean it when we talk about inclusion, about becoming an anti-racist religious community, when we are not willing to acknowledge, incorporate, or engage the historical theological realities alive among many people of color?" End quote. And the same, I think, could be said for the spiritual and emotional realities of people and communities of color. Looking at the class-based realities of our faith, we find that historically, the Unitarians have been mostly upper class, mostly well-educated folks who place a great emphasis on reason and intellect and value a higher education, while the Universalists were more often poor and working class people who valued intuition, spirituality, and emotionality, and to a great extent were pushed aside a little bit by the Unitarians during the merger. And these realities continue to exist today. And also, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people my age and younger, some of them leaders within this faith, who bemoan the fact that we are so scared of being a religion, that so many Unitarian Universalist churches are content to be social clubs and activist groups instead of carrying forth the healing message of liberal religion. The less space we make in Unitarian Universalism for spirituality, religiosity, intuition, emotion, and vulnerability, the less space we're making for so many of the people that we claim solidarity with, the people to whom we so passionately profess to want to bring our healing message, especially at a time when so many need healing. This world is broken. You don't have to look far to see that. Human beings are so beautiful and so imperfect, and we do the best we know how, but the truth is that in the grand scheme of things, not a single one of us has the first idea what the hell we're doing. And we screw up a lot. Sometimes on an unthinkably massive scale. We screw up because we forget who we are. And who we are is social beings. We were made for connection. We were made for each other. We belong to each other. And when we share our brokenness, when we share our vulnerability, that's when the real connection happens. Because then we realize that we are not alone. That there are other people who are going through so many of the same things we're going through. That there are people we can depend on when we get knocked off our feet by the pain of this world. People who will lift us up off the ground, dust us off, hold us close and let us cry on their shoulders, and then get us moving forward again. May we as Unitarian Universalists strive to be those people. Not just the ones who lift up those who get knocked down, but those who get knocked down and reach up for a hand to pull us up. May we get out of our own heads a while and spend some time in our hearts and our souls, connecting to the hearts and souls of this broken world and the people in it. Theodore Parker once wrote, "Be ours a religion which like sunshine goes everywhere, its temple all space, its shrine the good heart, its creed all truth, its ritual works of love." I couldn't agree more. But today I propose something that, for many Unitarian Universalists, may seem even more radical. Be ours a religion, period. A place to feed our souls. A place to take shelter and heal together. A place to feel that there is something bigger than all of us. A place where you can be truly you, and I can be truly me, and our love for one another makes us whole. Amen.
I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing our closing hymn, number 1058 in the Teal Hymnal, "Be Ours a Religion." That's number 1058. Join me in our chalice extinguishing statement printed in your order of service. We extinguish this flame,
but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
Our closing words come from an anonymous author that comes from through a closing blessing, I believe, by the youth, I think, of some congregation. We are never complete. We are never finished. We are always yet to be. May we all